Welcome into a Monday edition of Spits and Suds. It's All-Star Week, except although Sean and I did not get elected to attend All-Star Week, we're not taking the week off, so we're here for you today to talk hockey. It's going to be a mishmash of a show because obviously the Stars are not playing this week, but I welcome in our NHL guru of the fan. He's EP Ringsides and Chapshot, Sean Shapiro. How are you, my friend?
I'm good. I am going to brag here a bit. I didn't get elected, but I will be flying to Florida on Thursday for the All-Star.
Wow.
So I will scoreboard a little bit. I didn't get
elected. Bury the headline.
Not doing anything on the ice, but I will be at the All-Star game. So, okay. But we're here first. We're doing our jobs. There's no bye week. So we're here to talk Stars hockey.
So the media isn't like a hockey team where you don't say like, hey, there's this guy, Gavin Spittle in Dallas that needs to come with me. You know, he's a good locker room guy.
Well, the unfortunate thing is you'd have to be voted in, and the Stars fans and the NHL fans didn't move the needle to get Jake Oettinger in over Connor Hellebuyck. So,
yeah,
I think if Jake had gotten in, he would have let you carry his bags. I think so.
Okay. So let's start there real quick. Like, hate it for the player because he deserves it. Love it as a person who covers and follows the team because I feel as though he's been playing great still. But I mean, I think this rest helps him because, you know, that he's carrying a big load for this team.
Yeah, I think it's for Jake's position, I think, in the ideal setup, it's probably great. It's probably a better thing in the long run for him not to be there for this season. But I will say, just from an element of, and I was actually talking to Marty Turco earlier today about this, about, because Marty went to 3 All-Star games, and he went to 2003, 2004, and 2007. He went to the All-Star game. And one of those was, he was the young guy, his first full year starting. And he was telling me just about some great experiences, like just in sharing a locker room with Patrick Waugh and picking his brain on some things. And he told me a story about how, for example, there was a goal that he let up from Al MacInnis, obviously tremendous, tremendous player, hell of a slap shot and everything like that. And he said one of the things that was so difficult about reading Al MacInnis' shot was he didn't really shoot where it looked like he was aiming. And Marty just said it's something that he actually learned. He went back to the locker room and you're looking at sticks and everything like that. And apparently MacInnis' curve was just so slightly different where he almost hit it the way he was hitting it with how his hands were out front. It kind of changed the angle he was shooting. And it's something where just hearing Marty talk about that as a guy when he was a young goalie and using it to pick brains, I think there's something where, from a health standpoint, it's the best thing that Jake's not there. But from a career, cool experience, maybe you pick up something type deal, it would have been nice for Jake to be there. He would have deserved to be there. So I think it's kind of, you basically pick your glass full, glass half empty opinion, and both of them work in this case.
Now let's talk about the one star that did make it. Heck of a season, Jason Robertson, becoming elite in this league. Super excited about the future. You know, health-wise, you know, I mean, because we want a high-energy Robertson. Does going to, in your experience talking with players, you just mentioned Marty Turco, how will this affect Jason Robertson? That being said, you know, they've kind of changed the format now, or seems like there's more fun activities than activities that would wear you down.
Yeah, I mean, it's, if anything, Jason may come back better than everyone else, even just because there's we need to separate goalies and players in this conversation. As a goalie, you can't really dial it back, so you have to work. Like Connor Hellebuyck, UC Saros, they're going to have to try. There's no like dialing it down to 25% or 50% as a goalie like a player can. And so for a goalie, I get more scared about a guy getting hurt or doing something or something dumb happening in the festivities. For a player, honestly, Jason's going to go through the bye week. He's going to go to the All-Star. He's still going to skate a little bit. He may actually be the freshest guy coming out of the break because the rest of the Stars are going off to whatever vacation place they have. I know Tyler Seguin, for example, has a couple of vacation has a vacation home he bought two or three years ago that he goes to during the bye week now and stuff like that. So if anything, Jason Robertson may have the more zip than anyone in that first game back out of the All-Star break. So I'm not as concerned about Jason. I think for a player in his position, if anything, it's just going to be a leisurely skate that that gets him back from the bye week travels a little bit earlier. And hopefully Jason's also kind of a weird one too, because he's someone who, with how his game is played and everything like that, the skills competition doesn't really have an event that fits his, like there's no skills competition where it's like being smart and being in the right place all the time to score goals. There's no skills competition event for that. And 3-on-3 is kind of just a weird amalgamation of the game when there's no sudden death element to it. So it's something where, like, I'm happy Jason's there and he's being acknowledged, but it's also not the, unless he scores a ton of goals, it's not really the showcase where someone's going to come away from it and be like, man, that's Jason Robertson. It's a weird mix, if you get what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, I totally get it. All right, mishmash number two, moving from the All-Star game to the trade deadline. Coming up, before we know it, it'll be here. I think we're Friday, March 3rd, is the NHL trade deadline. Value of Anton Khudobin. Is there any value there?
I think there is. I still think there has to be a... We're still waiting on a team to have the goalie shoe drop much worse than it has. Because right now, the overall state of goaltending in the NHL is not great. Just it's a down year for goalies across the league, which makes Linus Olmark is ridiculous right now. It makes what some of the best are doing really, really wild. But like the fact that Martin Jones has a 23-7-3 record and he has an .895 save percentage.
Yeah.
Like that's, we're like, and you've got like Jordan Binnington has an .891 save percentage and has still won more games than he's lost. I'm looking at stats right here. You've got Phoenix Copley has quote unquote helped save the Kings, and he's got a .901 save percentage, but he's got a 15-3 record. Like, so I think the fact of the matter that what is average and what is the state of goaltending has kind of driven Khudobin's value a little bit down, because it's not like Seattle's like, well, we need to find a guy who's a 905, 906 guy when that's kind of what average is, and that's what they're getting with when you take away some of the real sloppy ones. I think you need to see an injury happen, or you need Dallas to be more active and sweetening the pot to get it done. And I think that's kind of comes with, and I'm willing to do it if I'm Dallas, if it means just basically retaining some of that cap space and being willing to part with that. Like, I think the ideal Khudobin deal, and I'm sorry for the double language on that.
No,
I think the ideal Khudobin deal, if you're Dallas, Khudobin is really the guy who's part of a pick swap for you, where you're trading Khudobin and a fourth rounder for a second round pick. Something where, you know, he's a UFA, you know, he's gone at the end of the year, you know, you're not going to get much because there's just with the state of goaltending in the league, but you can move up, but you can get a better round pick in the draft. And I think that is the ultimate way he probably gets moved. The fact that Alex Nedeljkovic didn't get claimed on waivers when Detroit waived him was a pretty good sign to where the state of goalie market is for guys making more than $3 million and having so success in the NHL. So make it like if any team and it will happen. I think it will. I think if any team has a goalie injury or assesses that, hey, we need a better backup option or a 1B, I think you could see it happen. I could, like, for example, I could see you look at what's a good example? You could see a team like, I don't think they would do it because it's in the division. And he's hasn't been too bad, but if you're Winnipeg, do you really trust David Riddick as the backup? I don't personally. If you're a team like, this is great. I'm just looking at stats while we're talking about
this. That's
okay.
That's what's the great thing about a podcast.
If you're Minnesota's been fine. If you're a team like New Jersey, I would actually be looking into it because I think between
New Jersey would be one, sure.
Yeah, even though Schmid has been decent in his showings, you're missing the veteran that actually gets stuff done. So I think he gets moved. I do think it happens in the end, but I don't think it's going to be for much of a haul. I think it'll just be kind of part of a pick swap.
Okay. And the modified no trade clause is gone. Mm-hmm. So yes. That makes things a little bit easier. All right. On to the next mishmash. When it comes to the trade deadline, what are we talking as far as costs for? I'm guessing it would be more of a premium for a second pairing blue liner than a scoring forward with an expiring contract. Let's just say both had expiring contracts.
Yeah. If you're looking for what would the cost be, you think?
Yeah.
I think this is going to be, and this is just a hunch, I'm not reporting this, just to be clear for anyone who's aggregating at home. This is going to be more of a seller's market. And I think both of those kind of start getting you into the same territory of you're looking at probably a younger roster player and a prospect. Now, I don't think the Bo Horvat situation, people keep talking about Bo Horvat, is they keep, I've heard three players and a prospect on that. And I don't think there's the cap space, and I don't think the two teams' ownership groups get along well enough for it to happen. But say, hypothetical world, you shoot for the moon and try to go get Bo Horvat. If you're Dallas and you're talking about three roster players, you're looking at having to make a decision on, is it time? You have to make a decision on, are you committed and not willing to give up on that quadrant of top prospects you have, where, yeah, when I'm talking about Wyatt Johnston, Logan Stankoven, Maverick Bork, and Thomas Harley.
Yeah.
And if I personally, of the three forwards, I'm not ready to give up on the three forwards. I think to me, those are kind of, especially for a rental, those are a no touch territory. And when it comes to Harley, I'm not as sold. I would be willing to at least, and someone brings up Stankoven or Johnston, or Bork, it's probably ending my conversation as a GM. But
yeah,
if they bring up Harley, I'm still listening. I'm still listening if it's Harley, and I'm willing to have the conversation for that, especially if we're talking about something like a Horvat or something like that, especially if there's a chance to get a conversation done and potentially sign for something. I don't want to use the Jim Nill line that a lot of Stars fans hate. I like where your team is at, but I think you also have to reflect that this team is first in the Western Conference heading into the All-Star break. This team is a good team. And sometimes the best trades are the ones you don't make.
Yes.
And so I think you have to remember that too, as well. So I'm okay with making the right deal if there's there. Honestly, the type of deal that I would be looking at, and it's nothing against his play, because I think he's been okay. But like, if there's any space where I look that there's an upgrade, and I don't think the market's out there, it becomes the fact of, as good as hasn't been bad, but I wouldn't trust Scott Wedgwood in a playoff game. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, I'm almost
at the point where I like Scott Wedgwood as a backup, but if all of a sudden Jake Ottinger got hurt or really there's something like I don't know if I feel great about Scott Wedgwood being my number one in the playoffs. And I don't think there's much of a goalie market out there, and I don't see the Stars making a move in that space, especially if Wedgwood signed for next year. But that's kind of when you start trying to play roster armchair GM with the roster machine and everything like that. You start to come back to this spot where it's like, okay, I'm okay with this, where this team is at, because of what the costs are. And now if there's a video game world where I could magically make some moves and handle some things that people would love to do that you really can't do, awesome. But we live in reality. And I think sometimes in reality, this Stars team is a good team. And going into the playoffs with this roster, I would still be happy with this roster going into the playoffs. And I think that's a really important thing to remember if the Stars don't do much at the deadline. And I think it's also a good thing to remember where sometimes you may be pushing and as a fan and want a deal and everything like that, but maybe the deal that you're pushing for, you don't realize is like trading for a guy like Adam Ernie or something like that. Nothing against Adam Ernie, but someone's going to overpay for Adam Ernie at the deadline because he's a veteran. Like,
yeah.
I don't want to be in on that deal.
Overpaying for Ben Chiarot. Ben Chiarot's a good player, but it was kind of overpaying for him last year.
Like, you don't want to do you don't want to be the opposite side of the Patrick Eves deal where the Stars made out like gangbusters after the Patrick Eves deal. You don't want to be on the opposite side of that. And also remember that you don't have a first round pick in 2023 because you traded away for Nils Lundqvist. You don't have a third round pick, and you don't have a third round pick either this coming year. I would be smart about the asset management on this. And if anything, try to be more aggressive and trying to get a pick back in that Hudobin deal like we were talking about.